In this episode, you'll be introduced how bamboo can cultivate wealth and sustainability at the same time.
Bamboo Insights, valuable knowledge from amazing experts.
Hello, dear listeners. I'm your host, Ayaka. I'm truly grateful for the opportunity to learn alongside our listeners the world of bamboo. For today's talk, we will hear the stories of bamboo business in Kenya. Now I'm thrilled to introduce Carol Kariuki, CEO of Green Pot Enterprises, to you. In this conversation with Carol, we'll explore the environmental and economic advantages of bamboo utilization, success stories and example of community empowerment through bamboo cultivation, the obstacles encountered in bamboo business development, and strategies for overcoming them. Now, enjoy the show.
So very welcome, dear Carol. I'm very happy to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you, Ayaka. It's such a pleasure to do this, to share our journey with you.
Yeah, sure. And so the first question will be, what is your biggest vision in terms of bamboo?
You know, it was interesting. 10 years ago, we set out on an ambitious target of creating wealth for the communities by growing 100,000 hectares of bamboo over the next 10 years. And at that time, we really thought it was a very ambitious program. But now it seems that, about 5 or 6 years down the line, it's going to be something that we can achieve. Maybe not in 10 years, but in 15 years.
Thank you. So the next question is, what inspired you to start a Green Pot Enterprise, and how the idea of integrating bamboo into business operations came about?
It was actually by mistake, largely so, because one of our founder directors had young adult children who were not saving any money. So he thought, what can I do with these kids to teach them delayed gratification? And therein started a soul searching and said, if we grew trees together, instead of me alone, I have some land in Narok, which is, about 2.5 kilometers from Nairobi. And if we grow trees together, in 10 years' time, we can harvest those trees and make more money as a family. And the light bulb moment just came and said, there are so many people who would want to invest in a forest and make some, do good and make some money at the same time. So therein started the Green Pot. And it was interesting because our first customer just overheard that conversation. And he decided to invest in 2 acres of land in our what we call the gated community of forests. And before we knew it, in 3 months, we had sold over 100 acres of land under this model. And today we have 1,500 acres under the gated community.
Wow.
And we just stop. Let us make sure we have this as a proof of concept. And once it succeeds and people begin to get a return, we can then be able to then increase the acreage significantly under bamboo. So what then happened after that is that very quickly, I used to be a banker before, and I really was very, I was very apprehensive about forestry as an investment opportunity. And we did a lot of research. We went to the Kenya Forestry Research Institute and learned so much about bamboo and how they had even put it in our vision 2030 for the country in terms of one of the transformative things that the country could have. And then secondly, we also did a trip to China. You know, China grows over 50% of the world's bamboo. And that visit was an eye-opener for me especially, because we visited the largest grower of bamboo nurseries in China, and he's a university professor. And when we visited, we understood, he had these 20 million seedlings a year. And that was a huge turnover because we were selling each of these bamboo seedlings at $1. So it was a significantly huge business. And then secondly, we then visited the plantations and we could see they were already harvesting, but at the same time retaining the forest as it was. Then what really just changed my mind is when we visited now the factories that were doing bamboo, and a whole city had 65% of its GDP bamboo related. And for me, that was, you know, what can I say? It shifted my mind completely, because if we could do this even for our country, Kenya, then it meant that we could really change a lot and really, really transform our people's fortunes, and at the same time do good, create fantastic sustainable products, and really just change the world.
Just more to clarify, I will ask that kind of a clarification questions. Like, what are some of the key benefits of bamboo as a resource for both environmental restoration and economic development?
Most attractive things about bamboo is a triple bottom line, where the bamboo really has a huge impact in terms of restoring the environment. So what has happened over the years in a country like Kenya, we found that because of the land pressure, the huge population growth, and economic challenges, a lot of the natural forests have been degraded. And the interesting thing is that if you look at the natural, how bamboo grows in our country, and in terms of the water towers, the area that has bamboo is where many of the rivers come from. And when that has been cut down, you find that it really affects the quality and the quantity of water that goes downstream. So in that respect, by now growing bamboo, you find that you're able to you're able to hold the soils, reduce the erosion, at the same time, protect our very delicate water sources. So we've done that in some of the restoration projects with really great success. And at the same time, restoring our natural forests. So I think, you know, in some of these situations, you find that the impact is so huge. There's a small stream that had disappeared from one of our farmers' farms that came back because he grew bamboo. And, you know, those are some of the moments that you just want to celebrate. Then in terms of the economic situation for the bamboo and how our model works, each farmer is going to get at least $2,000 per year for the acre planted with bamboo. And this actually competes favorably with coffee or tea, which are our main export cash crops. So in the year 2020, our government introduced bamboo as one of the cash crops. So you can see also the government support is coming in. And then looking at the social aspects, they say about 70% of Africans use charcoal and firewood as their principal source of wood fuel. So by doing that, you find that so many people get respiratory problems. Actually, the number is like 20,000 people die of respiratory problems related to the use of firewood. So bamboo coming in as odorless and smokeless alternative that is sustainable is really a really good solution. And when we look at all these benefits, and for some of the industries, like one of the biggest brewers that is related to Diageo, is approaching us to sell to them bamboo chips so that then they can reduce their carbon footprint. So all these things coming together really can add so much value in terms of a holistic approach to the economy.
Thank you. When it comes to the benefits to the community, I was wondering, like, do you have any more like specific success stories?
One of the finest moments in my life is, you know, we were walking to one of our farms a while ago, and we met this old lady, and, you know, she was saying, please hurry up, because that bamboo across the ridge is bringing rain. And I thought, this is amazing, because if they can already identify that the bamboo forest is attracting the rain that had disappeared from the community, it's amazing, isn't it? One of the other things is that also one of our farmers is actually planting the bamboo just below their tea plantation. And because they use a lot of nitrate fertilizers, they felt that if they planted a band of bamboo just below the where they have their tea, then it would reduce the amount of nitrates that are washing to the river where they then drink the water. So it's as a purification tool. So I thought that is really interesting. And, you know, when you hear these things from the farmers themselves, it's really Excellent. Now, one of the things that is exciting in the coming years is that we'll be able to then test that theory that the farmers will get $2,000 per acre per year, because we are just about to launch our factory this year by June. And that means we can finally start buying the bamboo from the farmers. So the economic benefit may not be 100% apparent at the moment, but I think that will be very clear in the next coming months. The other thing is that because bamboo is a long-term crop, it's taken 5 or 6 years for the farmers to start getting a return. One of the other areas we are really looking at is beginning to develop carbon credits so that the farmers can be getting a return much earlier on, also reducing the cost of establishment of the forest and at the same time getting a return before we start harvesting the bamboo. So those are the areas that we are really looking forward to, but and we are very confident we'll be able to do that.
Now I wanted to move on to some of the challenges that you have faced by pursuing this project. And then, so what are some of the main challenges you faced in promoting bamboo as a viable business venture? And then, but how have you kind of overcome it?
I think one of the biggest challenges of being an you know, one of the early businesses in a certain area is the understanding of the community. So for instance, when it comes to access to capital, even if we approach the banks, they wouldn't give us the money because you say, no one else has done this before. How do we measure? And how do we trust that by setting up a factory, you'll be able to pay us back? We're saying, but our business is not new in other markets. You can look at the success stories in other markets. But of course, that is limited. So I think one of the biggest challenges we have faced and that has really cost us in terms of time is access to affordable credit. And, you know, when they say patient capital, I think we have to be patient, not the other way around. You know, they think you always imagine that they'll take long to ask for repayment. It's actually the entrepreneurs having to wait a long time to really access these impact funders. So I think that has been one of the biggest challenges. The second one is that climate change is real. So in the sense that 3 out of the 7 years we've been growing this bamboo, we've not had adequate rain in our country. So, and because of that, it's taken much longer for the bamboo to mature than we initially anticipated. So even in our cost, the costing of our model and how much it was going to cost for you to invest in a bamboo forest, we were, you know, we were using what we were able to research, and that was 4 to 5 years for the maturity, and then you begin to harvest. The reality is that it's taken 7 to 8 years. So of course, that has also squeezed our cash flow capacity and also caused a lot of fatigue in terms of the people who have invested over the years, both in terms of the gated community and also in terms of our farmers. And then part of our model is also selling seedlings as for profit. And we really hoped that each part of our model was able to then be a self-sufficient business line in its own right. But when you find that there's no rain, then the seedlings are not bought. And then also because it's taken longer for early farmers to start getting a return, it has also caused a bit of fatigue and say, look, once you start paying us, we are 80% of the farmers said they would like to plant more. So I think a lot of these things are coming through. But the interesting thing that has happened because of all this, you know, move towards Kenya planting 15 billion trees, we are now beginning to see a shift in the mindset from government to NGOs and all other everybody else who preferred not to fund seedlings for farmers. And we are seeing a lot of demand coming in for our seedling business, and then also some support in terms of, you know, just challenging the government and telling them, look, guys, we must then push bamboo products into the market. Otherwise, then we can't complete the model. So we are beginning to seeing a lot of the results coming from the lobbying that we've done over the years. So I think that's some of the challenges we faced, but we are really positive and hopeful that, you know, the market is shifting, the ideas are shifting, the global narrative is also shifting. So for instance, the World Resource Institute that, you know, that is coming through to fund us through their Terra Fund has been funded by the Bezos Earth Fund. And Bezos Earth Fund came to visit us And we were challenging them, look, you guys are associated with Amazon. Can you then put some of our products into your website and sell them as a pre, as you know, as one of your impact products? And I think some of these doors that we keep knocking, or IKEA, will open up sooner or later. And I think that will be a big shift in terms of access to capital. And because we are ready, we've done this, we've participated in so many things like setting the ISO standards for the products. We've invested a lot in the framework. We are ready to then thrive and grow.
Wow, that's so inspiring. Looking forward, yeah, but looking to the future, what are your goals and aspirations for Greenpot?
I can summarize them in one sentence. And I would say 100,000 hectares of land, degraded land restored, 5 factories producing paper, textile, energy, and wood products. And the last thing is 3 countries. So currently we're in Kenya, but we also have African ambitions. So we'd like to go into the DR Congo, Uganda, and Zambia.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
So it was the first half of the conversation. Our talk will continue to the next episode, so stay tuned. For today's episode, we've learned the potential of bamboo, especially the diverse application and benefits of bamboo and its economic benefits, entrepreneurship or sustainable business practices of how innovative ideas can lead to impactful ventures. In the next episode, we will learn more details of her business model. If you're vibing with what Carol shared, here's what you can do next. Learn more about Greenpot Enterprises at the LinkedIn. Connect to Carol on LinkedIn as well. Discuss the various aspects of this episode with other listeners in our Facebook group page. I'm really looking forward to connecting with you again. Last but not least, make sure to join our next Empowerment Bamboo Workshop on March 2nd with Carol. And of course, tune in to the next episode. See you.